Well, good evening, everyone. It is Sunday, February 14th, Valentine's Day. And we continue with our Sunday evening lessons recorded here during the pandemic. We hope you all have had a good day. Thank you for listening. He's as strong as an ox. It's an expression, of course, that we have heard all of our lives. We say it because oxen are strong. Oxen have been used as work animals for thousands of years, and they're mentioned often in the Bible. In fact, the words ox and oxen are found 180 times in the American Standard Bible. Oxen were used for working, plowing, pulling heavy carts. In the Old Testament, while Israel was traveling through the wilderness, the most precious pieces of furniture in the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, and the altar of incense, and the other pieces of furniture within the tabernacle, were carried on poles on the shoulders of the priest who moved them and carried them from place to place. But the rest of the tabernacle, the boards and the sockets and the covering, were loaded onto carts, and they were pulled by oxen. In our own country, oxen were critically important in the 1800s when America was expanding from east to west. Settlers moving to the west in the beginning of that expansion would eventually farm millions of acres of fertile soil, the beginning of the breadbasket for the world. Oxen were an important part of that. Oxen were a good investment for farmers because they had a relatively low initial cost, and they could work long hours, and they had a long lifespan. And so it should be no surprise that oxen were, and are still today in places where they are used in this way, the most common draft animals in the world. Oxen are big as well as strong. An adult ox can weigh 1,500 to 3,000 pounds. But a team of oxen together can pull 12 to 13,000 pounds of weight. Well, why am I talking about oxen? Well, this past Friday was the first day of the Chinese New Year, and in China, this is the year of the ox. To the Chinese, the ox represents strength and confidence and power and stability and determination and even stubbornness. And so tonight I'd like to talk for a few minutes, especially about the strength of the ox, and of course make the lessons to us as Christians, how that we need to be strong. Our lesson really is just using that illustration to talk about strength and how Christians are to be strong. There are a number of passages in the Old and New Testament that encourage us to be strong in a variety of ways. And there's way too many of them to cover in one short lesson, but let's just talk about a couple of things and a couple of passages. I begin by reminding you from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11, where Paul says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, there Paul says, "Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong." There are many challenges today to being a Christian. There are trials and there are temptations. There are challenges in our family. There are a number of ways in which we need to be strong. And I want to notice just a few of these today as we talk about strong as an ox. Let's go back to the passage in Ephesians chapter 6 and talk about it a little bit more. I read the two verses, verses 10 and 11. Let's begin there and read on down through verse 18. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against a spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, in which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Paul tells us here to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, and to put on the whole armor of God. The ancient soldier had to be strong, and he wore armor to protect himself. Ancient and modern soldiers have a variety of protective armor. The ancient soldier had a helmet, and modern soldiers wear helmets. Ancient soldiers had shields, and modern soldiers and police forces, depending upon the particular duty, sometimes they carry shields. There was a vest that was worn, and military people and police forces in riot situations often wear body armor or Kevlar vests today, bulletproof vests. And so some of the pieces, even though different than in ancient times, they're for the same purpose, protecting the torso, protecting the head, protecting with the shield against incoming projectiles, protecting the soldier to help him to withstand the dangers of the battle. The Christian's armor includes these things also, but they all center, of course, around the strength which the Lord gives through his word. The Christian's armor includes truth and righteousness and the gospel of peace and faith and salvation and the word of God. We are to put these things on. And these things that we put on, as we said, come from our knowledge, from the word of God that's been revealed to us. The word of God teaches and it instructs, it guides, it warns, it encourages us, it helps us. And so therefore we are to be strong in the Lord, he says, and in the strength of his might. Strong as a soldier that's equipped, strong as an ox. And to be that way, we must know his word. If the word of God is given to us to protect us, the word of God is given to instruct us, the word of God is given to admonish and strengthen us and build us up, we have to read it and study it to be able to take advantage of that instruction. And so in Psalm, number of passages, of course, teach us that. Psalm chapter 1, the very first psalm, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the streams of water, that bringeth forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also does not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. The psalmist talks about delighting in the law of the Lord, and in his law meditating day and night. That's how we're strengthened, brothers and sisters. We're strengthened through a study of God's word. We don't study the Bible just for academic reasons. We don't study it so that we can play a game in Bible trivia and know the answers. We study God's word to be able to use that word. Remember the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I treasured up in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We treasure up God's word in our hearts. We put it into our hearts and into our minds. It impresses us. It strengthens us. It helps us. It motivates us. And so we take God's word into our hearts. When we do that, we're going to be like that tree, he says, planted by the streams of water that brings forth fruit. When we take it into our hearts, into our minds, it'll bring forth fruit if we meditate upon it, if we love it, then it'll bring fruit in our lives, like the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. We are built up, we are encouraged, we are taught, and it'll bring forth this fruit. It'll bring forth fruit in our lives by the qualities that people see in us, and it'll bring forth fruit in our actions and our words. And so one who delights in, studies, and meditates upon the Word of God will be like that tree. Again, here's a picture of strength. Not a reed easily shaken in the wind. Not a newly planted tree that just gets blown around. But a tree like the oak tree. Like a big Florida oak tree. Mature, strong, big, that's going to stand the winds and stand the storms, strong like an ox. Let's go back to Ephesians for a moment, this time to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read all of that this evening, but go back and read it when this lesson is over. In those verses, Paul talks about how that the Lord gave to the church gifts. He's talking about these servants, these workers. He gave gifts to us, apostles and prophets and evangelists and shepherds and teachers, to instruct and to guide and to build up the body of Christ. And then in verse 14, Paul says that you no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. He's picturing a ship being tossed by the wind on the sea, or maybe, as we said, a plant or a reed or a small tree that's blown about in the wind before it grows and matures. It's not yet strong, it's not solid, it's not grounded. God's Word strengthens us, helps us to grow, helps us to mature, helps us to know His will, that we will no longer, Paul says, be children tossed to and fro. It's often easy to talk a child into something. They're not mature, they're not strong, they don't have the knowledge, the maturity. And so you start to tell them something, you tell them to do something. That's why we tell our children when they're young, don't talk to strangers. When you're walking home from school, if a stranger comes up, you get away, because it would be easy for a stranger to convince a child of something that is not true. And so that you no longer be children, Paul says, tossed to and fro and carried about. Don't be children spiritually, carried about by every wind of doctrine. And so God's Word and God's teachers are given to us to make us strong, spiritually strong, strong like that soldier, strong like that modern soldier fighting in combat, strong like that mature oak tree, strong as an ox. One reason for being strong in God's Word is because there are so many false teachers out there in the world. People will teach almost anything and claim that it comes from the Bible. In our study of 1 Timothy and Titus recently, we've talked a number of times about false teachers and what God's Word has to say about that, the warnings that Paul gives to Timothy and Titus about that. The New Testament writers warn time and time again about false teaching, false doctrine. Were these just empty statements? Were these things not true? Were these things just written to fill up pages in the Bible? In our passage in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says there in verse 11, that we are to be strong so that we can stand against the wiles or the schemes are the tricks of Satan. Satan and his ministers, false teachers, will seek to destroy the church and the truth. And so we must be strong. It doesn't mean that we act in an angry way or an inappropriate way or an ugly way. That's not standing for the truth the way the Lord wants us to. He wants all things to be done in love. Yet we must be strong. Caring about people and loving people doesn't mean we give in to false teaching. We must be strong. We must be convicted. We must stand for God's truth because it's God's truth, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Jude said in Jude verse 3, to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. Contend, fight, defend. Paul says, fight the good fight of faith, 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. Scripture tells us not to add to or to take away from the message of the gospel. We're not to change even one word. Paul says that even if an angel from heaven comes teaching a different gospel, let him be accursed. Galatians 1, 6 through 9. It's critically important that we be strong and willing to fight to defend the gospel. Paul's an example of this in the book of Galatians. Paul wrote the book of Galatians on the issue of circumcision and whether or not the Gentiles had to be circumcised to be saved, as some of the Jewish Christians were teaching. This was a huge issue, of course, in the early years of the church. And Paul opposed this false teaching. He opposed it strongly. And even when Peter, who didn't practice that, and yet he acted hypocritically. And when Peter acted hypocritically, Paul withstood him to the face and condemned him. Sometimes it's necessary to take strong stands. We don't like to. It's no fun to have to take strong stands. It's no fun to have confrontations with brothers in Christ that we love. But Paul would not compromise. He wouldn't compromise the faith. He wouldn't compromise the truth. Paul was strong. He was as strong as an ox. And we must be strong today. No false teaching. No compromise. Strong in the Lord. Let's finish by talking about one other thing. As we said, there's many ways in which we need to be strong that we could talk about. But let's finish with talking about being strong against temptation and sin in our personal lives. We've been talking about our stand for truth, and that's so important personally and congregationally to stand for truth. But we also need to be strong in our personal lives against the temptations and trials Satan will seek to destroy us. We talked this morning in our Bible class on the book of Proverbs about sexual sin and the temptations of the flesh and how we need to be strong against that. It's always been a problem. Sexual sin, greed, covetousness, there are just some things that have plagued mankind, of course, over and over again. And so we need to battle these things. We need to be strong. We need to be strong and not let Satan win the battle. James, in James chapter 1, talked about temptation. James says, let no one say when he is tempted, James 1:13 and following. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempteth no man. But each man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Then the lust, when it hath conceived, bears sin, and sin, when it is full grown, bringeth forth death. Be not deceived, my beloved brethren. James tells us that each of us is tempted when he or she is drawn away by their own lusts and enticed. James chapter 1, verse 14. The temptation to sin, as we have said, is around us everywhere in the world. And that's why the Bible warns about it over and over and over again. Paul was constantly warning about the temptations of the flesh, the temptations that Christians have to return to their former life, the former life of the world that they lived in before they obeyed the gospel. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 and 23, Paul encourages us to put away the old manner of life and to put on the new man. This comparison of the old man and the new man is given several times in Scripture. Paul writes about it in Colossians 3, put to death therefore your members which are upon the earth, verse 5, wherein ye also once walked when you lived in these things, verse 7. In verse 10 he says to keep putting on the new man. It's a constant struggle. It's a constant thing. We must constantly put on the new man. We must constantly be fighting against the flesh. We live in the flesh. We're going to have temptations of the flesh. As we get older and more mature in Christ Jesus, I believe these things get easier. As we become more and more mature and more knowledgeable and more we apply these things in our lives, it should get easier. It's not always the same. But still the flesh is there. Wherefore, he that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. Let us never think that we've overcome these things and we're not going to have a problem. There can always be something that jumps up to bite us. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. Do you think you're too old and too mature to have problems in some area? You're probably not. I've known of men who were elders in the church, who in their 70s, who had never done anything like this before in their life, but in their moment of temptation, sinned in some way that brought great reproach upon them and their families and their wife. Terrible things that have happened. Why? Because we let down our guard. We think it can't happen to us. We put ourselves in situations we should not. We don't stay as close to the Word of God as we should. Whatever the reason, whatever the situation that brought us to that, Paul, as we said, keeps warning over and over again, put to death your members upon the earth. Keep doing it. It's a constant process. Keep walking, putting on the new man, living for Jesus day after day. And so the message of the New Testament over and over again is, walk in the Spirit. Don't go back. Don't go back to your former world. Don't go back to the sins and corruptions of your former life. God has something better for you, and it's the new life that's in Christ Jesus. In Christ there is forgiveness. There is peace of God that passes all understanding. There's the contentment of knowing that we are God's children. We have the hope of eternal life, and what a wonderful hope that it is. In addition, one final thing, we have the wonderful promise of God that he will help us. He will help us to be strong. What a wonderful promise. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has taken you, but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what ye are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape so that you will be able to endure it. If we will lean on God's word, we will lean on our God in prayer. There is no temptation that can overtake us. God will make the way of escape. You trust in him. Watch for the open door of escape. Be strong. Don't go back into the world. Trust God's promises. Be strong. Be as strong as an ox. Well, as we said, there are many more passages and ideas that we could talk about, but we're going to quit there for tonight. Brothers and sisters, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Be strong as an ox. Be strong in the word. Build up your Bible knowledge. Apply it to your heart, to your life. Be strong as soldiers of the cross. Take up the full armor of God. Be strong against trials and temptations. Look for the way of escape. God has promised to give it. Be strong and never compromise your convictions in any way in your personal life or in our collective life as a congregation of God's people. Be strong against Satan and his wiles. Be strong in your love for one another. Thank you for listening. Have a great week, everybody. See you soon. Bye-bye.